Amen. Elder Karen Liverman, come forth now with the word of God on this special Mother's Day. Amen. Elder Karen Liverman, God bless you.
Amen, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we are blessed with another Mother's Day. You know, those of us who are blessed to have our mothers and those of us who were blessed to have them that have gone on, we just thank and praise the Lord for his processes and purposes and his will concerning our families. You know, it's kind of funny. We were starting our family just not newlyweds. We had been married and were having children. I was having them every 18 months. I'd be nursing 9 months and pregnant 9 months and so on. We did that 3 times in a row. And we were looking for a larger house, and the realtor was, you know, taking us around. And my husband told him, he said, well, you know, we have to get a larger house because my wife went off and got herself pregnant. And so I said, I went off and got pregnant. You know, he said, oh, no, I mean, we, you know, trying to clean it up. But God is good. You know, not only did we have our own children biologically, but we were blessed to have 7 bonuses. And we're blessed. One of my children journeyed all the way from Tennessee to be with us for Mother's Day. And I thank and praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. 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 We thank him for his marvelous grace. We thank him for families. You know, it's not an accident that we are born or adopted in the family that we are in. All of it was according to God. And this morning we're going to talk about a few of the mothers that are in the scriptures. So if you'd be so kind as to bow your head, we'll have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your divine will and purposes. We thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all the many spiritual blessings that you have blessed us with in the heavenlies in Christ. Hallelujah. Father, we're asking, Lord, that you might remember each and every mother that's here. Encourage her heart. We know we all have challenges, but we know that we have good cheer and good comfort because we've overcome them all. Hallelujah. You said in your word that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. And we know that we win. Hallelujah. 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 We're asking, Lord, that you might remember those that are yet on their way. Remember those in our worldwide web audience, that you may continue to encourage their hearts. We know that there's going to be tribulation and suffering. Hallelujah. Nobody wants to talk about that, Lord, but we know that without suffering, hallelujah, hallelujah, it brings forth patience, hallelujah, and confidence, and it causes us to trust in you and rely on you. And Father, we thank you for that. Lord, we're asking that you might give us hearing ears and seeing eyes, that we may behold the mysteries of the doctrines of the grace of God. We ask these prayers that you might be glorified and honored. Lord, in a special way, remember Deacon Wallace. Hallelujah. He's greatly missed. Continue to encourage his heart, Lord. We ask these prayers that you might be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, when you see me coming, hallelujah, guess where I'm coming from? Ephesians. So you ought to have your Bible already turned there. Reader, would you be so kind as to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Now, you may say, oh, Sister Liverman, here we go again. Yeah, Lord, long as the Lord gives me breath and he keeps me grounded here, here we go again. You must understand your salvation is an eternal entity, that you didn't have anything to do with it. It was not about you giving your hand to the preacher, not about you being baptized a certain way with a certain formula, not about you finding Jesus. He was never lost. No. He caused you to come in his eternal working and plan before the foundation of the world. And you know, when I tell people that as I'm out and about, a lot of times I talk to them about Ephesians and they'll say, I'm saying things from the script. They say, is that in the Bible? Yes, it is. You know, but many of us are only taught the Bible stories, and I'm not knocking the Bible stories, but by all means, open your Bible up and look into Ephesians and Colossians and Romans and Thessalonians and Galatians and those books that were written to the church, the body of Christ, which we are a part of. So if you'd be so kind to read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5 in the Greek as well as the King James, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with the 3rd verse in the King James translation. Blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly in Christ.
Amen.
According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Amen.
To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
Amen. And can you read that, please, in the Greek?
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 in the interlinear Greek text. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us with every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ, as he chose us in him before foundation of the world to be us holy and unblemishable before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to him according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
Amen, amen. It's God's good pleasure that you be a member of the body of Christ, which is the whole highest calling. It doesn't get any better than being part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Now, we're now going to go to Colossians. Because you know what? If you don't have spiritual salvation where it's supposed to be, in the spiritual invisible realm with God from eternity, not something that's passing through that is a process. It is something that was caused according to the divine will and purpose of God for you.
Amen.
The fact that you have been called out to be a member of the body of Christ is a marvelous thing. Hallelujah. And we want to make sure that you understand that your salvation is a done deal. Once saved, always saved. If you're saved as you are saved in eternity, you cannot be lost in time.
Amen.
Amen. You don't want to be a topsy-turvy, inside-outside Christian, thinking because you did this, because you did that, because you said this or you didn't, or whatever, that it's going to change. Your sonship position in Christ is a surety. Hallelujah. That can never change. Amen. Amen. And can you read Colossians 2 for me, 9 and 10 in both the King James as well as the interlinear?
Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 in the King James translation first. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now,
hallelujah.
In the interlinear Greek text, because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in verse 10, and ye are in him, having been filled, who is the head of all rule and authority.
Amen, amen. You are complete in Christ in God. Hallelujah. You know, God is not up in heaven making daily decisions.
Nope.
You know, and we have them sometimes kind of mixed up with the good fairy, the tooth fairy, and Easter bunny. And we think he's like Santa Claus. You know, he's making a list and checking it twice. And sometimes we act like he's a little genie in a bottle that we can kind of rub and command and send on errands and kind of work it out our way. Like kind of like what we do at Burger King. You know, you have it your way. We want to have it our way. When in actuality, your life is completed in Christ in God. He is not making daily decisions. Hallelujah. It's already done. And all things spiritual are already yours. Hallelujah. And what I'm trying to get you to do on this Mother's Day is to kind of get your priorities in proper alignment. We have to think Christ first. Those things that we see will terrify us as we look through the matrix. If you're moved by what you see on a daily basis, you'll be too afraid to even come out your house sometime. But we have to realize that what we see is temporary. And as we look into the glorious light of the gospel, we realize that it's a done deal and that all is well. Even if it doesn't look well, it's all well because God has already done it. He's already brought us through. Hallelujah. That came, it came to pass. That's the reason that it came. Hallelujah. Okay, Mother's Day. You know, know, we had a pastor's pen, and I just wanted to excerpt just one part of it. The pastor was gracious enough to send it to me. But just the portion at the beginning that is so moving to me. And it says, the Mother's Day pastor's pen. One of the greatest entities of God's relation regarding human relationships is the concept of motherhood. A mother is generally defined as one who is a female parent or a woman in relation to her offspring. However, mother in essence carries a much deeper meaning than one who merely gives birth to a child. There are certain characteristics of motherhood for which are attributed certain qualities suitable in a true mother. Example, tenderness and affectionate solitude. You know, the Hebrew word for mother is pronounced M, and the Greek word is mater, basically meaning the source of something. This figurative meaning is expressed throughout the book of Genesis as it denotes, number one, Eve as the mother or source of all living things. And we reference Genesis 3:20. It references Sarah as it is declared that she shall be the mother of nations. And they reference Genesis 17:16. And it talks about Rebekah as it is declared that she would become the mother of thousands and 10,000s. And that reference is in Genesis 2:60. You know, it's kind of interesting about Rebekah. The mother of Isaac, and she had when she died, he was in such a slump and depression that his father said, "Send his favorite servant, his trusted servant." He said, "You need to get him a wife." You know, but there was such a big hole in his heart and his countenance because he had lost his mother. And we're going to talk a little bit about a few more mothers in the scriptures. We're going to talk about particularly Ruth and Bathsheba. Those were two mothers mentioned. And matter of fact, their part in their son's lives and in the scriptures in our lives and our background is so important that there are only four women that are listed in the lineage of Jesus. They list all the men. They go through the paternal part, but they don't shine much light on the maternal part. That's where we come in. Though one of the women, and there are four women that were listed, and all of them had great faith and great courage. The one we want to talk about very briefly is Rahab. And Rahab, we know, was the prostitute, and she was a foreigner. The spies had come in to spy out the land when Israel was moving about, and Rahab had given them shelter, and they had assured her they would remember her, and she told them that she would keep her light on. Amen. And of course they did. And she is mentioned, a prostitute, a foreigner, in the lineage of Jesus. Then, of course, there's Ruth, who was a Moabite woman, another foreigner. Yeah, yeah. See, sometimes we're so prejudiced and so closed-minded. We think that God only loves just us in our little bunch, you know. But God is inclusive and not exclusive. Hallelujah. You know, so you have to be careful how you entertain strangers because you don't know who you're talking to. You don't know if you're talking to a person who looks different than you that is a member of the body of Christ that is elected to be part of the body in God's eternal plan. So we got to be careful how we treat people. So we've got Ruth, again, that Moabite woman. We're going to talk about her a little more in detail. And then, of course, there's Bathsheba, the adulteress. Yeah, yeah. Not only was she an adulteress, she ended up marrying a murderer. Yeah, God uses people to make mistakes. I'm at the top of that list. Yeah, yeah, yeah. None of us are perfect within ourselves. Hallelujah. None of us can go on our own righteousness. We must, hallelujah, depend on the righteousness of God in Christ because we are depraved. The Bible said all have sinned. And we're talking about some of those imperfections this morning. And then, of course, then there's Mary, the teenage mother of Jesus. Yeah, you know, we have a teen pregnancy problem in our country, and we always look down on people if they don't fit into our little box. We know all of these women I just named didn't fit in anybody's box. And if just looking on the outward, you'd say, oh my God, God had no real purpose for them. They had no real value to him, but they did. They were highly favored. And we talk about favor all the time. We, you know, we talk about we're going to pray for favor and God is giving us favor. Do you know what favor actually is? Is the sovereign will of God in action.
Come on here.
That's all it is.
Amen.
It's not because you did something or followed five steps or recited certain verses in the scripture that things happen. Things happen according to God. all things are according to him. And so in a little more detail, reader, if you could turn, please, to the Old Testament. Yeah, we've been accused of not believing in the whole Bible, but we do. As long as it's collaborating with our Bible, which we should be focusing in on, the epistles of Paul. Why? Because that's the mail that's written to the church. The 14 epistles of Paul is written to you. But we're going to look into Ruth right now. And I'd like the reader to turn to Ruth chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, real quickly. And I'd like him to start there for me.
Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4 and verse 13. Again, Ruth chapter 4 and verse 13. Begin with verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel.
You know, what happened as a little background, they did not have a welfare system put in place like we have in America, where we have single women or older people, and we have various safeguards put in place to protect our seniors and our elderly and children and so on. And what they did in Israel to make sure that people's needs were met, they had a hierarchy in the families for widows and also for orphans as well. The Bible says there's a blessing in taking care of widows and orphans, but most of us don't really believe that, especially our politicians. But it is, because the Bible said it is, and so that makes it so. So what happened here? Ruth, Naomi was Ruth's mom-in-law, and she and her two sons had gone to another land among the Moabites, and the two sons married women from that community. And in the process of time, the sons died. Both of them died. And then so that left the three women with no covering, with no means of support. And so Ruth said, she decided she'd go on back to Bethlehem. She'd all go on back to Israel to be among her people. And her daughter-in-laws were kind to her, because I'm pretty sure she was pretty kind mother-in-law. You know, we don't always find that. Sometimes there's conflict with mother-in-laws, but Ruth was an exceptional one, because her daughter-in-laws, they loved her greatly. So Ruth said, now you guys go on back to your people, and I'm going to go back to my people. And the other daughter-in-law did go. However, Ruth clung to Naomi, her mother-in-law. They went back into Israel, and they were trying to make their way. So in the hierarchy in Israel, if a brother passed, then the wife would marry the surviving brother, and the children that they birthed would be under the name of that brother, so his lineage, his line would continue on and not disappear.
Amen.
So they had what they call kinsmen that would step in and would take over and cover these women. So in the process with Ruth, the kinsman that was next in line was already kind of overwhelmed with his responsibilities. And Ruth caught the eye of Boaz. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible doesn't say she had extraordinary beauty, but the Bible does say and talk about her virtue, her faithfulness, her courage, and her loyalty to Naomi. And Boaz appreciated those qualities. So he went through the process of going through having meetings and so on with his other relatives who would have been in line to make a provision for Ruth. And he became the kinsman redeemer. And that's what the Bible calls him, Boaz the kinsman redeemer.
Yes.
He loved Ruth so much that he redeemed her. And he was rich, too, by the way. Oh, yeah. He had lots of land, and he made provisions for her as they were gleaning and getting things. He told his men, leave some extra for Ruth. Yeah. Well, anyway, in the process of time, they got married, and that's what we just read about, was the marriage. And Ruth goes on to father Obed. Obed goes on to father Jesse. Jesse goes on to father King David. So Ruth was the great-great-grandmother of a king, a foreign woman who had no means of support and no covering, ended up being listed in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, sometimes things that we discard are very valuable to God. And Ruth was very valuable because of her virtue and her loyalty and because of her kindness toward her mother-in-law, Naomi. Again, a foreigner. All right. So we talked a little bit about Ruth and her loyalty and how the Lord favored her, or again, his sovereign will played out in her life. Yes. Amen. Amen. Now, we're going to also look at another great mother that we don't hear a lot of positive things about, and that's Bathsheba. And if the reader could turn to 2 Samuel 12:24, we're going to read that. And that's about Bathsheba and her son.
2 Samuel chapter 12.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24.
Yes.
And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him.
Oh, my God. Now we have Bathsheba having Solomon, and it says here, and the Lord loved him. The Lord had extended favor, or his sovereign will that played out in the life of Solomon. To make a long story short, can you just turn to one more thing if I could indulge you? And that's 2 Samuel 11:3-4. And I know you might be getting a little mixed up, but I'm going to bring it all together.
2 Samuel chapter 11, beginning with the third verse. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Verse 4. And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned into her house.
And read the next one.
Verse 5, and the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child.
Okay, what's happening in this little scenario? Well, we have David, who's the king, the mighty king, the conqueror, who happens to look upon his neighbor, and that was Bathsheba. And he admired her because she was beautiful. But I think not only did he admire her for her beauty, but he admired her because she was intelligent. She was a smart woman. And he was intrigued not only by her beauty, but also her great intelligence. And you might say, well, Sister Karen, it doesn't say that in the scripture that we just read. No, no, no. But he had a lot of wives already. Wives and concubines. And here we have Bathsheba, a neighbor, a smart woman. And they ended up having an affair. And in that process we just read, she became pregnant with child. And as we know, that child ended up dying. And then quite naturally, you know, David wanted to kind of cover up the sin. So he had her husband murdered. That made him a murderer. That child that was born to them out of the adultery passed on. And, you know, because he pleaded and pled with God, he wanted that child to be born, and wasn't so. But God had someone else waiting in the wings. And that was Solomon. And we already read that Solomon was loved by the Lord. So you may look at the outward and say, oh my God, how could anything good come from that terrible beginning? But God does not look at the outward. Hallelujah. God looks at the inward. And that's why we have to not be so quick to put final judgments on others, because we don't know what God is going, what God's intended plan will unfold in the matrix. What's going to be revealed in time through his processes. And in the process of time, Solomon was born. You know, Bathsheba was a great mother because the scripture says, a child in Proverbs, it says a child left to himself brings the mother to shame. And she put everything she had into Solomon. And the scripture says he was the wisest man because of the wisdom he learned from who? His mother. You know, I tell my boys, and I've got three boys, and I tell them, I said, you know, be careful about the women that you fraternize with. Because whatever flaws they have and whatever beliefs they have, they'll put them on your children. Absolutely. And that's what happened here. Bathsheba really was a, in my opinion, a spiritual woman, a good woman. But who among us has not had a failing? Who among us has not missed the mark? Yeah. Right? And what we see looking in the scriptures at these stories is that you see the humanity in people that God chose, selected, elected, his sovereign plan being played out, and they're not perfect people. And you aren't either. So we must extend the same grace toward others that God has been merciful and kind to extend toward us. Hallelujah. The scripture says we're to love one another. Hallelujah. And that's all we're looking at in these mothers. These were mothers, again, foreigners that God incorporated. And so when you find people that are being exclusive, that's not God's way. God is inclusive. God is big. We can't separate because a person may not worship like we worship or may not look like we look. You know, I went down south one year with my husband to see his mom, and we went to a little country church, and, you know, it was a holiness church, and I'm coming from the north, you know, and I looked a little different. Yeah, I had some makeup on. Yeah, I had on some jewelry. Yes, I had my toes out. Yeah, I had on silk stockings. And I could just go on and on and on about what we do here that they didn't do down there. The women down there did not press their hair. I don't press mine now either, but at that time I did. The women down there had sleeves on long in 90-degree weather. They had on cotton stockings and closed-in flat shoes and long dresses. They looked different from me. And as a result of them looking different from me, I was excluded because I looked different. They got up and preached on me and told me if we need to look like we didn't come out of Egypt and look holy. And they were going on and on and on and on. And I'm sitting there. I know they were preaching on me because my toe was out. You know, I had on some sling pumps and I had on high heels and I was smelling good. And I thought I was looking good, like what my husband liked. And so when I had a chance to testify, what do you think I talked to them about? I talk to them about love, how we're to be known by our love, that it's the love of Jesus from the inside that should shine and bring light, not your apparel, the outward, but the inward that is the most important. And that's what you see dealing with these women that we just outlined, these mothers. They had the love of Jesus, thank you, that shined from the inside in spite of their outward circumstances. Hallelujah. And that's what we're to prioritize. We're to prioritize the inward, the unseen. Hallelujah. And that's where the action is. And that's where our salvation is. It's unseen. It's inward. It radiates from him to us. And that should cause us to be more compassionate to those that don't look like us. Those that appear to be different. What do we have in common? We have the love of God, which is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And that's what I'm encouraging you with today. And the last mother that we're going to talk about is Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we all know that story very well. It's publicized particularly Christmas time. We all hear about Jesus being born in the manger, very humble beginnings, right? Born, you know, the manger is a barn. And he was born among barn animals. There was no room for him in the inn. He had no nice bed and comfy surroundings to lay his head upon his arrival. He was born in a barn. However, what was the impact that his mother had on him? It's silent about the first years of his life. We don't see very much. When we see Jesus back on the scene, he's teaching in the temple. He's probably been bar mitzvah. That's their permission, their process. And he's teaching as a young child, a young man, 13 or so, in the temple, confounding everyone. Now, we know that all wisdom and all knowledge and all good and perfect things come from above. But we know those things were instilled by God through who? His mother. His mother that had trained him. Yeah. Yeah, so he had a courageous mother who, against all odds, ended up bringing to fruition in God's plan Jesus, our Savior, who eventually suffered and bled and died, paid the price for our sin that we could become members of the body of Christ. And so we got all four of those women that we just talked about who started with very meager beginnings and had very extraordinary endings, who were blessed to be the mothers of extraordinary men. We have Ruth, who ended up getting with Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, who was the great-great-grandmother of the great King David. Yeah. We had Bathsheba, who ended up starting off kind of rough with King David. But even as you read through the scriptures, and I love to read the stories because they give me a lot of insight. You know, some of us need to turn off our TVs and put those novels down and look into the stories of the scriptures. And so she had this rough beginning with the king. And quite naturally, he went on and he did more conquering. He had more children, had a lot of kids because he had a lot of wives and concubines. But when it came time for him to die and to pass on his inheritance, guess who he gave it to? Solomon, the adulterous mother. Yeah, Solomon was the one that he remembered. Hallelujah. And so I'm saying to you, it may your present position may not be delightful. It might not be the best. But realize that you have faith and trust and confidence in God. And as mothers, God is going to make a way for us, even if it doesn't look like it's a right way, or even if it looks immediately like it's not turning out. Be encouraged wherever you are, realizing that God does not forsake mothers. Something about a mother in the mind and heart of God is special. And those of us that are blessed with that calling, not like what they were in Israel. There was a time in Israel that the men would stand in the temple and they would pray. Again, women were separated. We were on the outside with the children. The men were in there beating on their chests and bragging that they had not been born women. But that time has passed. According to our gospel, there is no or cannot be a difference between men and women. There cannot be a difference between bond and slave. There cannot be a difference between circumcision and uncircumcision. And there's only liberty for women where there's knowledge of the cross and the death, burial of Jesus. He's the equalizer. I know on Capitol Hill they're talking about women's laws, and you know, we know we don't make but 78 cents every dollar they make, but in the eyes of God, we're equal. There is no difference. Hallelujah. So mothers, I want to conclude with encouraging you to stand firm in who you are in Christ. Stand tall in the liberty that we have in the gospel of the grace of God, realizing that God has a special place in his heart for mothers. And in concluding of our pastor's pen, it says, the Grace Gospel Church Ministry highly regards the virtue of both godly motherhood and womanhood. Yeah. We believe that women that women are today are truly expressed in what they are, in particular to motherhood. Mothers should understand that they owe this distinct position wholly to the place in which the Word of God has conferred upon them. Right. We thank God for mothers and motherhood.
Yes.
And in conclusion, viewing life from the vertical plane of our sonship position in Christ and what God has done for us through his eternal plan of salvation should bring peace to our daily lives. Saints, walk by faith and not by sight.